Ken Brown here from WGR Radio. Michael here at DetroitLions.com as we talk game time. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ken Brown. And what a game week, eh?
Well, this is a special edition of Game Time because we have to break in with the news that happened between the time of our podcast on Monday and today. And we'll get that first, and then we'll go game time and end it. But we have to talk about the Lions trading T.J. Hockenson at the trade deadline. We got to get our quick thoughts on that before we proceed with game time. Michael here, as Ken Brown predicted and said earlier and been saying all season, that he was a person that you might be able to get some value for. He was kind of expendable to me. I know others don't believe that, but I was not surprised that he was traded.
Well, I heard the chatter and all that, so I'm not saying I was shocked or anything like that, but I like TJ more than maybe some other people did. I thought he was, as I've said before, in that second tier of tight ends, not in the first tier, but after the top three or four, I thought he was in the next group. And, you know, he was fifth in the league in yards, receiving yards for a tight end, first in the league with an average per carry of 15.2 yards. And I thought he was a productive player for the Detroit Lions, but I also understand why they did it. And it's, you know, maybe he's not just quite their type of player. Maybe they want to, you know, move on in a different direction. Obviously, they want to move on because they are. And they picked up some draft picks, you know, another second-round pick, another third-round pick. So they've really got going into the 2022 draft. I think you said this, Kenny, 5 picks in the top 25 the way it stands right now. Does that sound right?
I think it was 4 in the top 30. It was 4 in the top 64, I believe that's what it was. And
there's a fifth one, though. It's the third-round pick, which would be the first
pick
in the pick
of the first pick, and it would be 65th pick. But, you know,
so it would be 5 in the top 65.
65, right. Top 5 in the top 65. But the 4 are the ones, to me, are concerned. The third-round pick can come and go. Those first two rounds.
Well, Kenny, that's only one more pick. It's only one more slot. Why wouldn't it matter?
No, I'm just saying the first 2 second-round pick and the first-round picks, to me, are going to be more important when you're trading up or trading down or whatever. It's just a matter of, Mike, it could be a second-round pick and 4 picks later be the third round. Just when you trade people, I traded a second-round pick. So that's what I'm saying. I understand the numbers. I mean, you got to remember, Miami forfeited their first-round pick, so there's only 31 picks in the first round this year.
Right, absolutely. That's correct. So that third-round pick right now that the Lions already have would be the 64th pick,
if that's it. But they're not going to finish. I'm going to tell you right now, people, don't get excited for them being the worst team in the league. It's not happening. This team is going to win some games by the end of the year. I don't know if they're going to win enough to get, you know, out of the top 5 drafting, but they're not going to be the worst team. So if you guys are thinking the Lions are going to dump the last 10 games, forget it. I'm telling you now. Listen to Uncle Kenny, all right?
And there was one other move that we haven't mentioned yet either. That was the firing of the secondary coach, Aubrey Pleasant.
Yeah, we talked about Aubrey Pleasant. We talked about that Monday. That was happening right when we did the podcast, so we did talk about that. But if you got anything else to say about it, and, you know, new information has come to light.
But the only one thing that the question all week with Dan Campbell and the players are, how are they going to keep their focus with all this going on? Well, number one, I mean, I understand that too, and I think there was some sort of reaction to it, but I think more so for the coach and his colleagues than it is for the players, because the coach is out of a job. TJ is in with the Minnesota Vikings with a team that's 6-4. Why would anybody be, you know, have any recriminations or whatever about that? He's got a better deal, and obviously the Vikings like him. They want to sign him to a long-term deal, I'm sure, and so he landed right on his feet. It's not so much with Aubrey Pleasant, although he's highly regarded in the league, I understand. He'll end up somewhere.
Yeah, but when you get fired as a coach, that means you got to, like, start again almost. You know what I'm saying? You got to get
back in line. Yeah.
And that's tough. He's a young guy, and I'm sure if he's that good of a coach, they'll make up for it. And the last thing I want to say about T.J. Hockenson, and I'm going to tell you right now, go look at Brandon Pettigrew's time with the Lions. Brandon Pettigrew had more of an impact than T.J. Hockenson did. I'm just want to put that out there. I'm not saying bad about either player. I'm just saying everybody wants to think Brandon Pettigrew was this bad pick. Look at the numbers. Go look at the numbers.
I've always been a big Pettigrew supporter, and he had 210 receptions in seasons 2, 3, and 4 combined, and he was one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. If it wasn't for his bad knees, he'd been a Pro Bowl caliber player.
Exactly. So.
210 catches in 3 years for a tight end.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I thought that it was possible that TJ would be traded, because if you remember Patricia, they would play Hawk outside like a receiver almost, running around. They really kind of wanted to feature him. This offense, it just wasn't featuring him. He had the big game, the one big game, and he had a long pass Sunday. But, I mean, Mike, when you're getting 2 and 3 targets a game or whatever, and nobody's paying $10, $15 million for that. So evidently there was a disconnect there somewhere. And I just felt that they thought he was a good player. They didn't think he was any key to their offense. So we'll see how it works out. But that's what I thought. Now, I think to get a second and a third, when you figure that Roquan Smith only got a second and a fifth, you know, I think that was a wonderful trade by Brad Holmes.
But they also gave up 2 fourth rounds.
Yeah, I'm just saying, to for people say, Roquan Smith was leading the league in tackles, and that's all you got for him was a second and a fifth. You know,
right.
So it was a good deal, and it'll be a better. And everybody's ready to get rid of Brad Holmes, and they haven't even started to get the payoff from the Stafford trade yet, because J-Mo Williams has not played yet, and you got a first round coming this year. You haven't even got the payoff from that trade yet. You got to be patient with this.
No, that's a good point. I don't think I never really even thought about that, because they haven't used that player yet. All they've done is call out the number of the
right.
pick.
That's exactly right. They haven't had a
we've made history here. I agree with you.
Yeah, I was about to say, something's wrong. Is this a good? It must be Good Friday. Is this April? Anyway. Let's get to the game now. The Lions are a 3-point underdog, 3.5-point underdog to the Packers. You know I hate the Packers. You know I hate Aaron Rodgers, and I never want to see him win. And I don't care what we're playing, if it's tiddlywinks or football. I want the Packers to be defeated, and I want the people of Green Bay to go back home. So is there any way the Lions can win this game? Are they in this game?
Well, they're able to score points, that's for sure. They've scored points all year, even last week against the against the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, they went cold in the second half, didn't score a point, but they already had 27. I mean, when that offense is click, it is really humming. Now they've got some injuries. You know, we don't know if Josh Reynolds is going to play, and we're never sure about DeAndre Swift. So they could be pulling guys off the practice squad again this week to fit it in. But I can see it being a fairly tight game. My pick is, I like the Packers to win the game. They've lost 4 straight. And you would say, well, what are the odds of them losing 5 straight? Well, the Detroit Lions have lost 5 straight. What are the odds of them losing a 6 straight? So I think it's whichever, you know, obviously one team's going to end its losing streak, and you would hope here that would be the Detroit Lions, but I just don't see it. But I don't think it's an impossible task either.
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me about this game this week is the receivers. Like you said, Josh Reynolds, he must have got hurt on the turf after he missed the last ball or something. I don't know when he actually got hurt. I know he'd been hurt the week before.
Well, he's been hurting. You know, he's been playing hurt.
Right. So, you know, the receivers are really your bare bone in the receivers now. Tom Kennedy, this is the example to all you people out there. Difference between preseason games and regular season games. Tom Kennedy is like a 4A baseball player to me, just right below the line of major league, better than AAA, you know, a good AAA player. You can see it in the games he's played. Tom Kennedy gets a chance, blah, blah, blah. This is the example why you don't fall for all these preseason game stuff and what's going on in training camp, because when the game is turned up another level, the talent level rises. And that's why be careful when you look at players. And you can see Tom Kennedy is just right below that level. He's not helping out with the receivers. He had one good catch.
Kenny, one guy you can who really, when the tempo gets turned up, I think he turns up with it to some degree, and that's Khalif Raymond, a wide receiver. He's got speed. He's tough. He competes for the ball. And I don't think he's ever going to be your number one or number two receiver, but in spot duty, he's done a very, very nice job for the Lions, just like he did last year.
Yeah,
he'll break some balls for you, break some big ones for you.
Right, but he wasn't a bubble guy that never got to the league. He had been in the league, played on other teams.
Oh, I understand. Yeah.
I'm just talking about
been around.
Kennedy. Remember, we heard that all preseason that why he should be on the team. It's just that now you see the difference. It's a little difference.
Nothing against him, but I'm
really upset. These are the games when Quintez Cephas, you want to see what he had. These are games where the opportunity is there, but he can't stay healthy, you know, to get on the field. But I'm going to tell you one thing I'm going to look at this week is James Mitchell and Brock Wright. And if they bring up, what's his name, the third tight end with the S?
Sistrel.
Yeah, if they bring these guys. But I want to see how the tight end position plays now that TJ is gone. Is the blocking going to be better now? Is there more in the receiving game? Is there less in the receiving? So that interests me to see how that's going to work out.
Well, I think we'll see James Mitchell, Kenny, as a receiving threat. Look, at Virginia Tech, we averaged, 17.2 yards per catch before he got hurt? That's pretty, I don't care what conference you're playing in. And that's, Va Tech, I think, is the ACC, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good level. I mean, they had a national champion come out of that league.
Yeah.
And so I think he's a pretty good receiving threat. And we've seen Brock Wright do some nice things blocking. Say that fast three times. Brock Wright does some nice things blocking, and I think he's been adequate as a receiver. And now he had sustained a concussion last week. I think he's going to be okay. I think he's going to be able to play. But we'll see.
Yeah. Quick trivia question for you. Who was the last tight end the Lions had from Virginia Tech before James Mitchell?
Virginia Tech?
Yeah. Va Tech,
Va Tech. Go ahead. Let me know.
Logan Thomas, even though he was the quarterback. Even though he
that's
was the quarterback
right, yeah.
at Va Tech. But that's, so James well, Mitchell follows in the long line of Logan Thomas.
Okay. I think we're getting to the end.
We are getting to the end. Well, let's get the prediction in and see who you have for this Sunday. What's the prediction, Mike?
Well, this sort of maybe plays into the Lions' favor, but the Packers are something like 29th against the run and second against the pass. Lions run the ball pretty well. But I just, with all the problems the Packers have, I still think they're a better team than the Detroit Lions right now. I think this is going to change, though, in the next couple of years. I really do. But for Sunday in downtown Detroit at Ford Field, 20th year of Ford Field, the anniversary, I think it's Green Bay 30, Detroit Lions 21.
All right. I'm not picking the Lions again until they win. So I'm taking Green Bay. But I hate saying this. I know. Don't. You know what? I refuse to predict because I cannot in good
you
conscience.
Did.
I cannot in good conscience predict Green Bay to win anything because I despise them so much. But I'll just say the Lions will be on the losing end of the team that's name I will not say.
Good for you.
And I'll give the score of everything now with the Lions defensively starts with a 2. So I'll say 29 again, but they might give up over 20. To over 29. They might give up in the 30s. But I'll say they're going to give up in the 20s this game because I'm not really impressed with that quarterback guy number 12 this year.
Aaron Rodgers.
I don't mention his name, Mike. I don't mention his name.
All right.
That's it for the game time. See you guys next Monday on the K&M podcast.